This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it greasy. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro.
Boy, I from good Dayton, night, Bahamas, and welcome to Inside Inner City. Dr. Maz on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, MP. They called me governor, so many names. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us 42GR96, and we also think we can listen live. Cable Bahamas, I think so. You also listening on 969 to Guardian Radio. And again, it's just a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday. I want to thank each and every one of you again for tuning in. I know this is the weekend, and there's a lot of partying going on, but there's a lot to talk about. And today we're going to talk a little about history, but our main show that is going to be talked about today, it's going to be talked about crime. And hearing that we have backlog cases that is going to expand into 10 years. And I'm going to give you the reason why, because on this show I've told you already that at the current pace, been 100 murders per year, on the judiciary system, the courts, they only try about 15 or 16, 17 murder cases per year. So if you look at that, it tells you that the criminals are actually winning. There isn't going to be no justice for a long, long time in the country unless we start invest directly into Bahamians. I'm talking small business, homes. We're talking about pay increase, you know, because it's serious in our country. And the statistics shows you that. But before we get to that part, that's going to be like, I'm going to talk about 20 minutes. And then second half of the show, I'm going to talk about crime and what I've been saying from my personal experience of being one of the former leaders of the Border Boy gang. I used that experience, and also when I changed my life around, I studied it. I didn't went to school. I studied it, and I looked at what at-risk kids need, what's at fault, what caused it. And everything that I've been saying for the last 20 years from I was on Debbie Butler's show, Tell It Like It Is, who I was a co-host at Gems Radio along with Gandhi Pinder. And I always use my experience and my knowledge from the streets to be able to come on air and speak to the governments of the Bahamas and to those who have the resources and talk to them and see if they could invest more directly in the schools, in the communities, and et cetera, to change this 100 murders per year. But like I said, I'd get that in the second half of the show. I want to say thanks to each and every one of you again, and we got a very interesting show. But many things that I've said on the show over the years, okay, I just want to talk about it real quick. This is not the topic of the show, but I just want you to know your history. Okay, because everything is being revealed. I want to talk quickly about the UK hands over 10,000 pages of Bahamas archival archive documents. I had a show a few years ago, and a caller called and mentioned this. You know, he said after 50 years, that documents will be turned over to the Bahamas government. And as we can see, 50 years have passed, and now we're getting those documents. You know, the 10,000 page of Bahamas archival documents, okay, was handed over to the Bahamas. And I listened to the Prime Minister's speech on it. And one of the things I do is listen tentatively. And he said that he is very pleased that we have the skeletal remains of our ancestors. And he's talking about the Lucayan bones that were taken away 100 years ago. But I also want you to bear in mind that a few years ago, if I'm correct, reading the newspaper, I saw where the Melis family, I think it's in Abaco, on their beach, they find skeletal remains of Lucayans. And when they excavate, scientists and students from Florida came down on an expedition to examine the bodies. And when they did, they checked the DNA of these skeletal remains that were preserved in the sand. That means they were preserved quite good. So they were able to get a DNA extract from these skeletal remains. And the finding is that these skeletal remains, and they went to Princess Margaret Hospital. Because I read a lot. I see, I tell you, before I talk, I read a lot. Okay? And I wait to see the response of media before I make my comment. So I wait a little while and hear what everyone else got to say about it. And then I come to my conclusion. And the finding was that in the DNA test, they found out that they are still, how am I going to say it? The DNA report came up that descendants of the Lucayans, what we call Arawaks, are still living in the Bahamas today. See, people, let me explain something to you. Throughout history, could you name a nation, a superpower nation, right, that invade other country, smaller countries, because they want to press their ideology, and they come to conquer? Do you think it's possible for them to eradicate each and every living soul on that particular island or country? I don't care how big your army is, okay? People will still be able to get away and migrate. I notice in what I'm saying this because when I listen and they say that Christopher Columbus came in, he killed out the whole population of the Lucayans or Arawaks that we call them. I know it was not true because the late, great Rita Pratt, who was my historian, who gave me the information, who went and did the research on the findings of Dr. King visiting the community that I reside in. And her findings came that he was here in 1958. But if you look at history, they said that his first visit to the Bahamas was in Abaco, Bimini, where he have a plaque. So history can be misleading. You understand? They said that was his first visit in Bimini. But actually, his first visit was in Grandstan when he came to the aid of Sir Randolph Fox. Okay, because of the charges, sedition charge he was facing against the British. So in Andres, there's a settlement called Red Bay. Okay, in there, they have Seminole Indians from the Seminole War that migrated from Florida, running away from the war, the Confederates and the Yankees. And they were to and fro from here to the Bahamas. At that time, Andres was a highly dense forestry island, one of the largest in this part of the world, and it's the largest in the Bahamas. When soldiers came looking for those black Indian, Seminole Indians, they could not find them, okay, because the roads were not there. The bushes were thick, and there are settlements inside of Andres that they were able to hide themselves. And anytime the soldiers came looking for them, they were able to relocate. same way we have Haitian shantytowns. We live in, you could be living right in that particular area. But only when it gets expanded and people start to come out the bush, you start to say, hey, there's a settlement in there. But them people sometimes be there for like 20, 30 years and you wouldn't even know. They start off small, but as they grow, then you find out that they were there. So it's the same thing, no difference. There's no superpower in the world who could kill out a whole nation. So that was ludicrous to hear that he came here and he eradicated all of the natives. No, they are descendants. Okay? I've always said that my grandmother told me that her mother was an Indian, her great, and her mother was an Indian. My granddaddy was a white man, I think from Ireland. Okay? And many of us can also say this. Many of our great grandfathers, after we talk about the slavery, most of our last names are the slave master's name. We take on their names. Most of the land that were given to us by them when they left after independence, we inherit those lands and those names. But basically, if you look at it, we are the same people. And we were fooled. And then after the skeletal remains were brought to the Bahamas, listen closely to what the Prime Minister said. He said he's glad to have our ancestors back in the Bahamas. I just want you to know that. So the truth is coming out. The 10,000-page document, the skeletal remains, okay? All is now is that the Father is enlightening us, and there's a new awakening in this country today. And I just wanted to say that. We are the same people. We've been brainwashed. We've been lied to. It's the same thing when we watch the Westerns. We saw in the Westerns where the Indians would go and scalp the white settlers who came from Europe. And they were welcome in the land of America. But as the generation got bigger, those said, forget the treaty and the hospitality of the natives, because you know we're kind people. And they wanted what the natives have. They wanted the land. And what they did, after the generation of working together, and the Europeans started to have children, their children had a different philosophy. They didn't want to live side by side. They wanted to just take everything. And that's what happened. And because we were kind people. No difference than when Christopher Columbus came here. He said that they're the most beautiful, the most peaceful set of people he saw in the world. There were no crime. There were no people who were out of shape. They were healthy. There was no sickness. Okay? There was no money. People trade. We used to trade fish. Who were farmers would trade. You know, we just trade anything. You know, what you were good at. And that's what that was the money. No prison. So everything is coming to light now. And I want you to bear in mind that it's time now to know the truth. And our children need to know the truth. Because we've been told a lie for a very long time. Because when we like, again, when we look at the cowboy movies, we'd see, and we would hate Indians. We'd say they're savages, you know, because we're seeing the Indians, them killing the white settlers in their land. But we never knew it was the Indian land. We thought that it was the settlers' land and that the Indians were wrong. But when it comes to the scalping, the Indians learned the scalping from the white Europeans who came as mercenaries to America. And they were paid a certain amount of money to take the scalps of the Indians. So what the Indians did, after a while, they were good, kind people. They revolted and started to fight back. And they learned and took on the identity of the mercenaries. And they started to scalp the mercenaries. And when we look at the movies, you know, we would hate the Indians and the cowboys and the Indians. When I was growing up, I hated the Indians, not knowing we're talking about our own people, right? And we hated them. We said, boy, look how they're doing the best one and that one. No, I'm not condoning violence. Okay, but they're saying we hated them. How the movie's prescriptive, making us feel that the Indians were wrong. The Indians were in their land. They invite and let the foreigners in their land treat them with hospitality, treat them with kindness and love, and show them how to grow fruits and vegetables. Like, for instance, when they came, they tried to plant corn. But as they put the corn in the soil, the corn would not catch because it was a different climate. So when the Indians who were in Florida, in the Americas, they grabbed the fish guts and they put the corn seed in it and they would plant it in the ground and then the corn would grow. So they were ones who also teach those who come with asking for a place to stay. They treat them with the most hospitality, teach them how to farm in the new land. And after a while, like I said, their descendants, you know, wanted what the Indians had. They didn't teach them, you know, you only kill one buffalo a year. You only chop down a tree, one specific tree in a specific timing, because they had a spiritual balance with nature. They didn't kill excessively. When the European came, they came shooting their guns, killing all the buffalo, and they started to make fur coats, fur hats, and that became a big, big business, and that's the reason they destroyed the way of life for the native indigenous Indians, no different than what is happening over here. And the Prime Minister also talked about, he said that we need to talk more about slavery. And all this is a part of it. And I just wanted to give my little 2 cents on that. And just to let you know that we're the same people. We're kind. But now we are being, how I should say, we have turned bitter. And as we see and we listen, every year we end up in 100 murders. Is the government doing a good job governing? Maybe. It's the government. It's Brave Davis and Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper stand a chance of winning the next election. They could win the next election. But what difference does it make if we're going to lose 100 lives per year? What difference is going to make if we have 90% of prisoners who are abused as kids? We have about 1,600, close to 1,700 inmates in the prison, and they're saying that 90% of prisoners are abused as kids. A few weeks ago, I talked about how child abuse increased in the Bahamas this year alone. So what that means for us? So if we have 90% of prisoners abused as kids and they're in prison, and then we have a statistic saying that child abuse is up in the country in 2024 increase. So what that means for us? You know what that means for us? Coffins. That's what that means for us. So that's just the first start. Then I'm going back to the crime report in a minute. So I just want to get out of the way. So let me get my show on the road. Chris, could it be play the voice video clip, please, if you could.
The skeletal remains of three Lucayans were presented to the Bahamas government on Tuesday after spending nearly 100 years at a University of Michigan storage facility. Bahamian students and visitors to the Bahamas attended a ceremony in Parliament Square. Prime Minister Philip Davis says the return of the remains closes a chapter that began with their removal from Watlings Island, now known as San Salvador, by George R. Fox.
The journey to bring the Lucayan remains home has been long and filled with complex parts. This return was made possible through the 1990 Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, a law that mandates in the United States institutions to return remains and sacred artifacts to their communities whenever and wherever possible. Thanks to the collaboration between Michigan State University's Arts and Collections Department and our own Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums Corporation, we mark a historic first for the Bahamas, the return of ancestral remains from an international institution.
Davis added, the act of returning them to their rightful home is more than a transaction.
It is a restoration of dignity, a healing of wounds, and a recognition of our shared responsibility to honor cultural heritage. Our connection to the past doesn't stop with the Ilocaians. Tomorrow, we will bring history to life through a reenactment that honors the service and sacrifices of the West India Regiment. I gather that you've seen some of the reenactments earlier today. The West India Regiment, men of African descent who fought for the British Army in the Caribbean and Africa.
Chairman of the Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums Corporation, Roselle Moxie, called the event historic.
The very first repatriation ceremony in the history of the Bahamas. To put today into a bit of context, let's consider that the 400,000 who call the Bahamas home are not truly the first inhabitants of this land. The first inhabitants of our land were all wiped away. And today we have the extreme honor of receiving three full skeletons. And it is truly almost a sacred moment.
Dr. Jessica Yan from the University of Michigan says the remains were initially collected in the early 1900s.
For the last 70 of those years, they've resided at Michigan State University. We have brought them back home as part of our ongoing work in identifying ancestors and objects of cultural heritage present within our collections. Respecting the wishes of the descendants and the local communities in the handling and stewardship of these ancestral remains is both the ethical and the appropriate thing to do.
She says returning the remains of the first inhabitants of the Bahamas honors their history and acknowledges their cultural significance, adding, they are making reparations for past harms. She expressed hope that this event will enhance public understanding of Lucayan history. Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonnie Tude.
Thank you very much, Chris. And I want you to pay attention to the words. You had a lady said that she's referring that they were wiped, though. Like I tell you, no country in the world can wipe out a whole entire nation. Some people would jump on boats. Some people would hide. All right? And then some people would integrate into that system. Okay? Because we had people living in the bushes. And when the Bahamas became fertile again, means having people. Because they said the Bahamas is barren for 200 years. Now, do you really research? I read a lot. Okay, that's why they said they were wiped out. But people still were there in the bushes. And then when the British came and they started to integrate and bring systematic change to the country as a colony, those people migrated into that slave mentality. The people were brought over in the slave ships and the set who were in the bushes, they migrated into the system. So just know your history. A lot of people have spun it around and tell a lot of lies, but now the truth is coming out. And for me, you know, having skeleton remains on display, you know, I know it's a thing around the world, but I don't know. I think people should be put in the ground, the bones should be put in the ground so the people could rest in peace, but I guess we need it there for whatever particular reason, for history, or whatever the situation, or brownie points. But I know. But all I'm saying is, you know, it's still disturbing of the bones. I mean, it's nice to have the skeleton remains returning back. And they said that other items that were taken from the Bahamas, because countries that were colonized under the British, they had the power to remove certain objects of history or of significance because they were the ruling party. They say who in the war, you know, rewrites history, and that's exactly what happened here. And now all of the information and the truth is coming out. We're going to take this call before I go to my next segment of the show. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
I've been calling you for a long time.
I'm fine.
But I'm glad you're talking about something like this. And I'm going to give you an example of where we are indoctrinated again. Did you see that movie, Tarzan?
Yes.
The last movie with Tarzan?
Yes, sir.
It baffles me at this time in our lifetime, the people would still portray a white man to go in the jungle and him one understand and talk to the animals. And he could get all, not one black man in that country could talk to the animals like him.
Uh-huh.
And for them to make a movie like that, they're still trying to keep us brainwashed.
Yes, sir.
That is why, you know, I always tell my friends, it's not, this is, the way we live today is not right because it is impossible for it to be one man, one woman. I don't care what nobody tells me. We were not created like that. And that's from the culture we came from. It wasn't no one man, no one woman. But these people who conquered us, their ideologies are so strong. And they were determined to get us to think like them until they just threw away all our thoughts or all our living cycles or whatever. And we don't have no memories of none of these things. Well, we do, but some of them still live like that today. But a lot of that was wiped away and brainwashed us, and they come over here preaching from this book and telling us how we're supposed to live. But it's impossible for us. Who go to war? The young men. Who die young? The young men. Who in the prison? The young men. Who getting killed every day? The young men. Who drinking and becoming drug addicts? The young men. So how you gonna have one woman, one man? And more women are born than men. That's the thing. So where does this psyche come from? One man, one woman. Nobody's thinking, and you just got people who preach this to the public, and these people believe this thing. There's no way you can have one man, one woman. And no way a white man could go in the jungle and get all animals to follow him. Anyway, that's just food for thought with what you're talking about earlier.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. And you talk about movies, right? They put everything in the movies. Like I said, when I talk about the cowboys and Indians, you see? And all of us in the Bahamas love cowboy movies back in the day. And we hated the Indians, not knowing they are descendants. But also, when you watch this movie, Rachel, you all ever hear about Planet of the Apes? When you watch Planet of the Apes, people don't have no clue what the Planet of the Apes all about. You don't notice? There's a white society, and then you have the apes, and the apes had to get intelligent. Remember, we couldn't read back in the days, you know. We couldn't read back in the days, but when slavery came around, they took away all the knowledge. If you look in Mississippi, you look in the United States of America, you were born as a slave, not to be able to read. If you read, you were killed because they didn't want to educate you. You watch Planet of the Apes. You know who the apes are? People do. I study things, people. And the apes came and take over. This is the same thing as when you look at Moses and Pharaoh saw that the population were growing immensely. And he decided to start to kill the firstborn because he needed to decline the growth of that population because he feared that they were getting too big and too strong. So he came up with this strategy. There's nothing new under the sun. Understand the full dynamics of the movie, which is one of the most popular movies back when I was growing up, and still is one of the most popular movies today. Watch it and see if the apes don't represent us as black people. And the next, now, listen to me. When I say I don't have nothing, no animosity against the white people, okay, first of all, I'm not a racist, okay? I'm just speaking how we as a set of people that were put across our archipelago, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, America, St. Lucia, Haiti, Jamaica, right? That goes back to when the father told Abraham that he was going to put his generation, like the stars, all over the world. Now, name one set of people out of all over the world, colonized. Let's just use Jamaica. Let's just use Haiti. Let's just use Saint Lucia, Antigua, Barbados, Trinidad, all of them. And what would we find out? All of them were brought, and some were still there. Like I said, a lot of people hide, and a lot of people were travelers. Okay? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Okay. And pay in mind, I'm going to end on this with a spot of the conversation. Y'all ever want Mansa Musa, the richest man that ever lived in the world, who crippled the economy as he traveled around the Middle East, and he had a brother who was the king, okay? And the king was the explorer, and he wanted to explore the world. So I think he took about 1,000 ships as the king, and he left his homeland where he was king. He left his younger brother in charge of the kingdom, and then it was reported after years that he got destroyed in a big, probably get lost at sea. But then the ship came back. And when the ship came back, it was his brother who was the king. And he came back to his brother who was Mansa Musa. Now remember, Mansa Musa's brother is the one who was the explorer. He left his hometown, his country, and he left his brother in charge. On returning, he went to his brother, and he is the king. Now his brother is the king, in term king now. And he did not go back there still believing he's the king. He went back there with sincerity, and he talked to his younger brother and said, "My king." See, that's how he is. He gave up power. And he asked his brother if he could insist him on what he found in the new world. Okay? So Mansa Musa, brother, who was the king, and he gave the crown to Mansa Musa, was the explorer, and he left. And the spears that you saw that the Arawaks, the Lucayans had when Christopher Columbus came to the Bahamas, and they were standing up with these spears and those little gold stuff, they were the trophies that were left by Mansa Musa's brother on this part of the world. So Christopher Columbus is a journey come lately. Okay, and Mansa Musa was a black man. And this is no hatred towards no white society. It has a particular cult of people who want to continue with the dark ages, you know, what they inherit. And their job is to keep us down, like I talked about. Moses and Pharaoh, nothing has changed. I just want to say that. We're at caller, you're on Inside the Inner City.
Hello.
Good night, good night.
Hello.
Good night.
Good afternoon, Scrooge.
Good afternoon.
Sparky here.
I listening.
Let me ask you something, brethren. When you was growing up, what's the first thing you can remember that all of us remember? All of us remember the same thing because they taught all of us the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things you can remember growing up was these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 1, right?
The beginning of the Bible.
Did you remember the beginning? That's one of the first things you can remember in your life. They did this to all of us when they brought their book called the King James Version of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be in the year 1604.
Mm-hmm.
When the King James decided that he was going to get over 100 Oxford scholars to translate the Roman Catholic Bible into English. It took them 7 years till 1611 to finally get the book the way the king wanted it. That's why they call it the King James Version. It's his version of the Holy Bible. By the time they finished it, it had come from 100-some scholars. These were supposed to be the best scholars in England. It dwindled down to 47 scholars. Now it was ready. When it was ready, the king authorized it to say, now take this out into the world and give this to the people. And everybody learned the same thing. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And then we got the human beings went to these places called seminaries where they taught them to be religious leaders that would lead over us on Sundays.
That's the pastors.
And it became a business where they teach us the same thing. Now, what they was taught in them seminaries, we don't really know what all they know.
Yes, sir.
We only know what they teach us.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's all they know. They teach, and they teach you the same thing. Every Sunday, you go to church, and you hear the same thing, no matter which religion you go to, as long as it's Christianity.
Hmm.
They teach you the same thing. Jesus died for your sins. Why, at the age of 80 years old, from you as a child, the man got to tell you the same thing every Sunday? You don't remember that from you as a child?
Yes, sir.
You don't have nothing new you can tell me next Sunday? I must come to church next Sunday for you to tell me that Jesus died for my soul. You were telling me that from I was a child. You can't find something new to tell me where the guns coming from in the Bahamas. Where the drugs coming from. All these years, they've been coming in the Bahamas. We don't grow it here.
They come from the devil.
We don't make it here.
They come from the devil.
But it's more guns on the street than the defense force and the police got.
Because it's big business now.
We don't know. It's a business.
It's a big business.
Somebody making all the money. And you can't stop them. They could be coming in, them fancy yachts coming in the canals in Lightfoot Key, in the canals by Atlantis, all the out islands, they coming in. You know they ain't coming in on no plane because they ain't finding them in no suitcase.
They coming on planes too. Don't mind that. They coming in the planes. They used to come in the tide box when they used to come from the United States of America.
You say you've been into that culture a time ago. You might have known when they was coming.
I know. I could tell you before you saw
it. You know when they was coming in.
They come through boats, the cruise port. They come through plane. They come through defense force officers who bust Haitian sloops out to sea or American out there. They come through hands of police officers. Who?
Back in the day, you can tell the boys on the streets, we ain't got none in the warehouse now. Some coming in on Friday.
Say that again.
I say back in the day, you might have been able to tell the sellers on the street. But it's being done in the warehouse, but the shipment coming in on Fridays.
Yes, sir.
But whatever the case is. But they've been teaching us this for years.
Mm.
I believe it's a population control to keep us a certain
all that's depopulation. Put the hands. All that's depopulation. Yes. That's the same thing as Pharaoh.
They are living a different life.
Yeah.
And they're moving on. And why they keep telling us the same thing over and over? And then we pass it out to our children.
That's all happening.
The only thing we're supposed to do in this world is go to school, get the education that they taught us.
And be working.
Get one job to
be a worker. Be a maid.
Maid. Be a waiter. Be a maid.
Or a janitress at the school. Or a janitress at the school.
Get one Japanese car. Get one small government house. That's you.
Yes, sir.
Don't you try to get out of bounds now. What you want to live in Old Fort Ridge for? That ain't for you.
Yes, sir.
They don't even want no Bahamian maids down there. They want Filipinos. Because the Bahamians go up there, they can bring up all their business, they can bring up town.
Yes, sir.
But the Filipinos can keep their mouth shut.
Yes, sir.
You don't even know where the Filipinos live.
Mm-hmm.
They try to keep the Filipinos them living inside the house. Mm-hmm. They let them out on Sunday to go to church.
Yes, sir.
And go play volleyball and go on the beach.
Okay.
Then they backed away.
Okay.
But see, we've been with this all our life. Like I always tell people, I'm 73 years old. I met it here, and I can see. I can leave it here. Because ain't nobody could change nothing. Because I don't believe our own governments running nothing on here. I believe our own governments are controlled by foreigners telling them, you better do this. Because if we put an embargo on you, you'll be just like Haiti. You'll be billing boat to try to get to Florida. If we step out of bounds, you see, America just built a big embassy up on Shirley Street.
On Grandstand.
Look here, there. But see that right on the corner?
Yes, Grandstand.
Shirley Street and E Street. They put that there for a reason. That thing bigger than Government House, the House Assembly,
mm-hmm.
and the church right next to it, together.
Mm.
That's the biggest embassy
in
the Western Hemisphere. Right, why do you think it's right in the Bahamas?
Yeah, because they're having problems with Russia and the African nation uniting and devaluing the U.S. dollar. 170-something states have gone into the euro, the thing with Russia. And now that they have achieved that, America now is trying to hold this part of the world more like in control, because they don't want us to do no business with Russia and those countries that are involved in getting rid of the U.S. dollar.
My thing is, when I look at all the black nations of the world,
yes, sir.
When you don't go and come to that place called our big brother to the north,
mm-hmm.
America,
yes, sir.
When I don't care which prime minister, what party we belong to, you could be UVP, FNM, PLT, whichever prime minister we believe he's some big god. If he make America mad,
well, the tourism industry stop.
If
that's
he
it.
Make America mad, we will all suffer. We don't even grow our own tomato.
You just share what the senator
they
said?
They everything to eat.
Yeah.
If America stopped them ships from coming into harbor and them planes from flying into the Bahamas.
You don't see Robert?
Put an embargo on us.
Yeah. Okay then.
Like they do in Haiti. We will be finished with it. You see that?
Yes, sir. But I have a lot of callers on. Go ahead. I got a lot of callers on the line. Go ahead.
Hold on 1 minute.
Yeah, you got to hurry. Speed it up.
Last week when you went at the food store, when the hurricane come close to the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
And them Bahamians still going to start buying up everything.
Yes, sir.
You know this last week and this week when you go to the food store.
Not many.
Hardly anything on the shelf.
Yes, sir.
All the sardine gone.
Yes, sir.
You all have a good day.
Thank you very much. Yeah. That Sparky made some good points there. Yeah, but when he talked about that, we had Robert DeSantis, the governor from Florida. He made a threatening remark to the Bahamas about a year ago, when he stated something about terrorism and what he would do to the Bahamas as just a governor. And he didn't know no history about the Bahamas. And he criticizing the Bahamas, saying we are terrorists. You listen, you understand, he threatened us what he would do. Like another saying that he would nuke us. Y'all wasn't listening closely. And if the prime minister or anyone offends America, that's why they don't hit the transgender laws. That gender equality, that's what the U.S. pushing. Kamala Harris was here a few months ago, and that was her priority. Notice we had the prince here from Wales here, from England here. He come to show his support, but they don't want the Bahamas to do no business with Russia. And that part of the world without devaluing the U.S. dollar. So now they're trying to build a greater relationship with the Bahamas now. And if the Bahamas decides to do some business with Russia and places like those African countries that are starting to find their way back and trying to unite the whole of Africa as one, we would get an embargo as no tourists come to the Bahamas. They could threaten us with that. And if they threaten us with that, knowing that tourism is our number one industry, then the Bahamas is finished. Because why we buy 90% of our food from America, which in we have 700 islands, 700 keys. And I know back in the 1940s and 50s, 60s and 70s, as a young boy growing up in the 70s and 80s, there were fruits and vegetables all over Nassau. There were Haitians on Bay Street, Old Porter Ski Dock, along with Jamaicans, people from Trinidad and Tobago. They had various different fruits from all the Caribbean countries coming to the Bahamas, and they were doing business here. So we had a healthy lifestyle of living until we started to say, we ain't want no more fish. We don't want no more mangoes. All these ingredients were vitamins and healthy for us. So we want Kentucky. We want McDonald's. We want a pork chop. We want pig. All right, now we get high diabetes, we get cancer, and et cetera, all that's depopulation. When we could eat healthy, you know, we could grow, let's say if we like pig, we could grow one pig and grow them healthy. We could grow our pigs where there ain't no pen. We could grow our chickens and let them be healthier where the chicken kept killing 3 weeks, you know. We could let our chicken, even if it's a 3 week chicken, but at least he's eating the natural ingredients off the land, eating the pepper leaf, eating the moringa. So he purifies himself, even the pig, you know. But if the pig is penned up, they can say pig is abomination. I'm just saying. You understand? readers could have it more healthier, not caged up. And we could grow so much different fruits and vegetables, 90%. So, Sparky, you're right. If any prime minister tries to offend the United States of America, they could put an embargo on us to stop the tourists from coming to the country and we finish because we rely so much on foreign aid that we lost our way. And that was, like I say, a plan. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Scroogey.
Hey, good night.
What's happening?
Everything good, sir.
Are you and Sparky talking sense tonight? You're talking sense. I hear you mention something about Christopher Columbus, but you got to understand about our history here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. What is our history? Where is our history? Who? In other words, what I'm trying to say is they hid
our history.
Hid our history away from us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't teach us our history.
No.
You understand the proper history. They changed Cat Island name from San Salvador.
That's right.
To this, changed San Salvador to that by an act of parliament. They hide that. They hide this. They say Christopher Columbus killed all the Arawaks.
That's not true.
And that was not true. They hide that part because Christopher Columbus and three men he brought with him, his brother and the priest. They were the only three Christians on the voyage.
Mm-hmm.
The people in Christopher Columbus attire that killed all the Arawaks and slaughtered them were the jailbirds and all them people. They emptied the jails out.
That's right.
That he brought with him.
That's right. Who left when he left?
Exactly.
Yes,
the Columbus Creed. Well, why take Arawaks back to Spain to show the king and the queen what you found,
yes,
and then come back and kill them?
Yeah.
Columbus died in jail trying to straighten out his name. And if they don't think it's correct, they could just check.
That's true.
In the books, Christopher Columbus wasn't the killer. That is why they had the big fight.
Yes.
When the governor, Carmichael, put Christopher Columbus statue on Government House. Because they know the truth.
Yes.
The Bahamians don't. Because they hid that.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Christopher Columbus was the first person to introduce Christianity
to the new world. That's right.
You understand?
That's right.
So, now, I agree with you. The black man that came before Columbus. But they say once is white, is right. Because Christopher Columbus was the first white man to come
record
it.
That's right. And
not that he discovered us, you know. We were always here.
We were always here. Always here.
Exactly.
We were always here. We are. I'm descending. See my forehead flat and think I'm in the back, you know.
you should see mine. But listen, I can peak Sparky. I can wake Sparky up right now.
Go ahead, sir.
I always hear Sparky. He's a body boy just like me.
Yes,
I'm a body boy. But I always hear Sparky say, it's mommy. And we know Sparky mommy started the rally back in the day. Especially with the first
part. Don't start Sparky up now.
Huh?
Don't start Sparky up now. Boy, you clapping now.
I can slap Sparky. I want Sparky to know that the first sponsors of the Wally Boys before his mommy and Malcolm them get to it, A.B. Malcolm them, was Model Bakery, the Greeks, and Sidney LaBeyard.
Wow.
Now, he can call and defend himself from there.
Thank you
then
very much.
This mummy then came on board.
Thank you very much. That's only history.
Right.
Thank you very much. You did a wonderful job. Sparky, don't call back. That's only a plus to whatever you're saying. There's no reason to call back, Sparky. Drink your Guinness and chill. I am doing that, Sparky. No. We can take this next call. Go ahead. Good night.
That's good. I don't want to get on the show quickly, please.
Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good off. Good night. How you doing?
I'm fine. And you?
Yeah, I listen. I'm doing okay. I listen to your show a lot. But I just had to call in.
Go ahead.
Talk about Christopher Columbus.
Go ahead.
I just want persons to understand one thing as it relates to discovery. You cannot discover a thing, anything, that is not there already.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is simply this. When someone says they have discovered something,
mm-hmm,
all they're saying is that there was something unbeknown to them,
mm-hmm,
prior to that time.
Whoa.
When they came across it. And that's all Christopher Columbus did. And anyone knows that is how discovery happens.
Yes.
You cannot discover something if it is not there.
That's true.
Okay? And so I just wanted to make that point. Then secondly,
good point.
We were not always here. I don't want Python to believe we were here. No. We most, by far, the majority of us descended from places in Africa and places from Europe. I don't know why we are denying the fact that many of our grandparents are actually Europeans as well.
Of course, of course.
You know, we are not just Africans.
No, Bob Marley, let me not say, I'm going to give some clarity what you're saying. Bob Marley's father was a white man.
Exactly.
My great-grandfather was a white man.
But we always
right.
talk about Africa as if
we get European, we get more
European. Out of Europe.
We get more
and
European. Yes, sir, you're right. You're right.
Right? And
yes,
then,
sir.
Two, like, if you look at the history of the slave trade,
mm-hmm.
you would first and foremost find out that there was a great battle going on between Portugal and the rest of the European nations
yes.
for that slave trade.
Yes.
But who were they trading with at that time on West Africa? They were actually trading with the African queens and kings of Africa for their own people.
Yes, because they're dealing
with...
We were not all good. Not all the blacks were good. Not all the blacks were good now, like you're saying now.
Yes, but for some reason, we want to deny those things.
No, we can't deny
it. It is always the white man...
No, it's not always the white
evil,
man. You're right, you're right.
When blacks have done evil themselves.
That's right. I was going to get to the point.
And if you follow history...
You're right.
If you follow history, there's never been a time except of late. And even now, if you go to some places in the world, there are still slaves going on. But there's never been a time when a conquering nation did not have slaves.
Mm, that's true. You need a slave.
There's never been a time.
That was, yes.
If you are a conquering nation, you will have slaves.
Yes, yes. Because every country you go on, you conquer, you will need people to lift your bags. You don't want your citizens to do it, so the slaves
yes.
will do it. Yes. Plan the fields.
The way,
yes.
That was the way
yes.
of life back in those days.
Yes.
Was it the right thing?
Yes, sir.
No. But that is the way life was back then.
That's how they were thinking.
So,
when we watch the movies, they give a the description of what you're saying now. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But I just wanted to harp on the point
yes,
about discoveries.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah, there are poisons here. We know that. But those poisons are not our ancestors by far and large. Those poisons... And you know something? I thank God for what happened, because if that did not happen, if those poisons were not mistreated and all those other kind of things, and they die out, then you and I would not be here. We would still be in Africa somewhere, running from lions and hyenas and
yes.
wild dogs and the like. So in all things, give thanks.
Yes, sir.
Because those events that took place in history are a direct result of you and I being in this great country, as massive as we think it is, called the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for entertaining me, and you have a wonderful night.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job. All the calls did a wonderful job. The young man made some specific points there, you know, and yes, there were black, wicked people, you understand? There were good white people, and there were good, a lot of bad black people who also were like he said, were taking blacks into slavery and trading them. We can't deny that. We cannot deny that, because we have the same thing going on in our country right to this day. Poverty. Right here in the Bahamas, we're doing the same thing, just in a different way. We have poverty and all these, et cetera. And I just want to add something on what the gentleman was saying. I just want people to know, Africa, this is something I'm getting to learn now. Africa is not the beginning of mankind. If you listen closely, it's the second birth of mankind. Because we must remember now, the Great Flood wiped out the whole entire world. Okay? That is where Noah, after the Great Flood, came and landed. That's why the animals are there in Africa. That's the second birthplace of mankind. It's not the first birthplace of mankind. And men were explorers back in the day. So they left that African continent after the second birthplace of mankind. Don't listen, check it out, read your book closely. If a great flood occurred, then we're in our land. Then he said a population and all animals came with the ark. And that's why it was so populated. That's the part of Africa they landed, right there. So it's not Africa's not the birthplace or the origin of us as black people. Before that, where were the great flood wiped out? That was our first birthplace of mankind. Africa's not the first birthplace of mankind. I hear a lot of people saying this, but I'm reading, and I'm picking through the lines. And now after the great flood, I could pick through the line. I'm going to take this last call, and I'm not saying everyone were right on their comments. I'm just adding some more to it. But I just want you all to know, don't think for a minute Africa is the first birthplace of mankind. Read the scriptures. Read after the great flood, the whole world was wiped out. Then Noah, with the blessings of the Father, helped create an ark, and they landed. Africa is the second birthplace of mankind. And before that, man were travelers, explorers. I just wanted to add to that. Caller, we're going to take this last call.
Father Scrooge, how'd it go?
Everything good.
Bless yeah, man, this G. You know how it goes.
Who's this?
It's G, but it's Ghana.
Hey, what's up?
Everything good. Now, I see you today, this topic, especially was talking about Africa. Firstly, that's the truest name of the continent, and it is the continent, is Akubula,
mm-hmm.
meaning the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the first things. And cattle, see, you got to realize, cattle slavery, or what we, the slavery that was practiced in the Western Hemisphere, that was not the same as what was practiced in Africa. You are an indentured servant. So in Africa, if you were taken into slavery by another tribe, you were allowed to marry into that tribe mm-hmm. and work your way out of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so on, people don't like to go back into antiquities. They say there's no relevant meaning way back then.
It is.
But let me show you the ramifications for us, meaning the mm-hmm. results of our people being chained down, raped, molested, exploited. The ramifications is the post-traumatic slave trauma that most of us experience. I'll give you an example. Me and you grow up in a neighborhood where the rites of passage was gangbanging.
Yes, sir.
Now, you could see clearly that nothing, that gangbanging brought nothing to us. Actually, we wasted some of the most precious times in our life, right? As a result of these activities. See, when you take a person and put them in chains, and then you degrade everything about them, when you discover inhabited land, when you take away their natural tongue, and you tell them who to love, who to hate, and how to think, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, by the time as that boy or girl gets out of that home, they already know the hate of self. Because it is being cultivated because of the system of colonialism, the post-neo-colonialism that we are experiencing economically and socially. You look at your skin. Your skin is brown, not black.
Maybe not,
and
that's
no
right.
One's white.
No one's white. That's right. I'm glad you said that. No one is right? White.
Now, pay close attention. That's like a nickname. See, but one thing they can't deny, that we are the original people
yes,
of God.
The voice.
Now, you could say anything you want to say, but see, we carry in us the original gene.
DNA.
And our truest cure
is love.
Is we ain't got to go and fight them down because it ain't no more racial thing.
Yeah.
It's about us having a profound love for
ourselves. That's why I said love. Yes. You're
and
right.
See, that fixes the subconscious because remember, every image and picture and view you see of yourself, it's in a more derogatory way, and that plays on the mind. Stun the mind and the body will follow.
Yes, sir.
But see, you have to understand that the subconscious is a sense, how you sense yourself. I give you an example. When you say your name in your head and only you can hear that, that's your subconscious. If you don't believe the highest of yourself, and you don't understand, and that's why the history is important. Like the great college of St. Croix
was already
established when Christopher Columbus came to this part of the world.
Yes.
In Timbuktu, that's a real place.
Yes.
See, if these stories were told, now
sound
I
sound like Nas. You sound like Nas. Hey, you sound like Nas just now. If these stories was told, Timbuktu. go ahead.
Yeah, because see, think about it. See, what you want to give your kids is an intrinsic, mm-hmm. right? Ability or intrinsic self value that no money, no big car,
right, is more
no shiny smile, no politician, no pastor, no one could take away.
That's right.
One of the things I teach my daughter before anything else is that knowledge is more powerful than education.
Money and gold.
You need to know. You need to be aware. You need to ask questions, right? Because that's the only way you will be able to not be played for the fool.
Yes,
and if you look around, and if you look clearly and carefully, you will see that most people are in this warp or in this reservoir of destruction because they aren't aware.
No,
and we aren't aware because the stories they are telling us about us, most of them aren't true. And so when you have that self-confidence, when you have stories that build your identity, no one can take that away from you.
Yes.
No one can make you go in the back of the line.
Yes,
no one can make you say, you know what, I'll take second or third or fourth place.
Yeah.
That is what we are suffering from, and that is the ramifications of colonialism. So my position is only teach the church right now. We need not the big growing people, the kids. Only teach Garvey. Only teach Stokely Carmichael. Only teach W.B.E. Du Bois. Only teach our forefathers because our ancestors are our angels.
Yes. Thank you very much, Garvin. Garvin. Garvin's a really intelligent young man. I'm glad everyone can give their 5 cents. But everyone's correct tonight on speaking on these matters, you know. And like Garvin stated just now, you know, we have to teach our kids to real history. And again, I want to say this. Don't think, like you say, we're not black. There's no black, and there's no white. This was given to us by those who wanted to break that connection where we had. Because we look at the whole world. Brown-skinned people were running the world. And in there, we had slaves. And we had white slaves, okay? Like the gentleman stated, I can agree, we had white slaves. Those who conquered, remember King David? What did he do? When they say hitchhike, give a description of hitchhike. White people with blue eyes. King David conquered. And the father told him not to take no one as wives, kill all the animals, and et cetera, because the animals themselves was part of the system. Means the animals, when they were migrating with that particular tribe of hitchhikes, they were murderers and rapists and adulterers. And the animals just drink the blood of the victims. So the animals themselves, and they were having sex with the animals, okay? And that's why the father said that, so yes. And then we took people as slaves. Yes, the caller who called in before Garvin, the next caller, he is correct. Even us as black kings and emperors, we took whites as slaves, okay? And we even took ourselves as slaves. That means all of us were perfect. We had brown. Let me say, because Garvin said the right thing. We had brown skin who were very wicked, who defied God. And because of that, we got put in the situation we're in today. And that's why the slavery and all that stuff come about. Yeah, I just wanted to say that. But all you guys were completely correct tonight. Okay, we can play the next clip. We're going to my next segment. We only have a couple of more minutes. That was, everyone just wanted to get up on that, but it was real good to know that we are regaining our identity. Sorry about that, Chris. Go ahead.
A part of a broken criminal justice system.
Now we're going to talk about crime people.
They have miserably failed to address over the past 3 years. And while the commissioner of police said that the force is utilizing its intelligence to monitor the 178 or so people out on bail for murder and to find out the details on the triple homicide, we ask if they have this kind of intelligence, why can't more retaliatory killings be prevented? Perhaps a commission of inquiry will help to answer some troubling questions as to why murders are so high.
Sands reminded the Progressive Liberal Party that while in opposition, it erected billboards displaying the number of murders under the last Ingram administration.
We need to know the truth. And speaking of the truth, perhaps it is time for the PLP to erect billboards all over New Providence to show the truth that the highest murder records were both on the PLP's watch and that in the Bahamas now, murders are at an unacceptable level. Now, governments are not responsible for crime per se, but they are responsible for responding to crime and violence in a comprehensive way.
There have been 102 murders recorded in the country so far this year. Police have not yet classified the deaths of two male relatives, a involved in a fight at a home on Muttonfish Drive.
See, that's the thing, right? Mr. Twain sounds you completely correct, you know. But, sir, let me tell you something. Yes, that might be true. But each one of y'all administration have had close to about, in their tenure as government, close to 500 or more murders per year. Now, you were pointing the finger, and you were saying this and you're saying that. When y'all was the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, did y'all make this crime issue a number one topic? No, you didn't. You put your tail between the leg now that you're in the opposition, you're looking to gain traction. Now you understand you're the opposition. Now you're looking to gain traction so that you become the government again. And then when someone comes to next opposition, we'll be hearing the same story over and over again. And you guys, you Mr. Dwayne Sands, you Mr. Vane Monroe, you guys are playing with our lives. You understand? You're talking, what is the reason? The reason is simple. Poverty, false religion, Bahamians who have this black and black crab syndromes where we don't like one another, where the Europeans as programmers, I don't like Garvin, I don't like Sparky. No, listen, that's all I go as an individual. And I'm going to tell you, I live in the community and I was a rough, tough guy in the neighborhood and I never took advantage of nobody in the community. Never, I never used my power. I always was a darn right person. I never talk bad with nobody unless you owe the line. If I have a problem with you, I'm going to talk to you right then and there, and I'm never going to hold it against you. Now, I might not never speak to you no more because speaking to you, I ain't getting nowhere with you because you're stuck in your ways. Now, I may be stuck in my ways, but I know one thing. I did not disrespect you in no type of manner. So in order for me not to let you vex me or for me to lose my self-esteem and get mad and hurt you or you hurt me, I leave you alone. I say, buddy, listen, let's leave it like that. I can never hold a grudge against Eric. Sparky calling the show right now, and he says something insulted. Yeah, I might. I will respond after him, but I'm not going to hold that against him the next week. I don't live like that because I know we're all one people and we're not perfect. So we have this black and black crab syndrome in this country, and that's what's killing us. Poverty. All right, now let me just show you one of the main reasons. Let me read it quick. In the Nassau Guardian, I get in the Nassau Guardian, and I get in the Tribune. So I'm going to read this here. Let me read this here. I can read the Tribune first. Okay. Nearly 85 to 90% of inmates at the Bahamas Directional of Correction Services experience abuse as children. Prime Minister Brave Davis said yesterday, I'm going to go to the page. There you go. He said, Mr. Davis said the findings came from a prison survey. Although he did not give specifics when it was conducted, prison commissioner Dawn Clare also could not confirm which survey the prime minister was referring to, noting that several surveys are being conducted recently. He said that 1,569 inmates are currently housed at the Bahamas Correctional Center. Despite this, Mr. Davis said the survey underscores the need for early intervention to help reset the mindset of abused children and potentially alter their life path. He called this a key factor in addressing crime, noting that one of our major challenges with crime today is a result of how young people are being treated and abused as a child. So, what I was just now talking about? Dwayne Sands was talking, right? And this is the result, okay? In response to them, abuse as a children. What we discovered is that an abused child without intervention becomes a dangerous adult. The prime minister added, and when we took a survey in our institution, prison institution, we find that nearly 85% of the 90% of all the prisoners in prison, they were abused as a young child, and so that intervention is required. Mr. Davis made these regards in response to a question about the need for more youth opportunities in Cat Island at the Bahamas at the Islands Business Outlook yesterday. He highlighted recent initiatives aimed at youth, including the National Youth Grant Program and the government's apprenticeship program, which encourages the private sector to provide work opportunities for young people. However, he acknowledged that the challenge persists regarding the choices young people make, as we are having a lot of mentoring programs. Mrs. Davis added, what we have discovered as well is that in many of these cases, our young people have been having mental issues, and we have just passed a new Mental Health Act to have it appreciated that because a person has a mental issue doesn't mean that they should be ostracized or they are no longer human. Mr. David compared mental health issues to physical ailments, saying that they are also the health issues to physical ailments, saying they are to having the flu or diabetes and should be treated with dignity. You understand? So we got this Dwayne Sands running up his big mouth, right? Because the opposition wants to be the government again, wants to get Brownie Point. You guys are playing with our life. You guys was in power and you guys did not pay attention. Youth programs, community centers, small business, housing. We got to find creative ways on how we get in tourism industry where we could get the 9.7 million visitors that visit our shores to spend American dollars, credit card in any city community. All right? We need healthier lifestyle of food because this also affects the human body and changes their mindset. Okay? So I ain't got no time for Mr. Dwayne Sands. And then you guys done playing with our life. Y'all guys are the biggest problem in this country. You understand? Both sides. Both sides. And the thing is, the Prime Minister stated that we're going to have a backlog of 10 years. Listen to this now. Callers, come in right now. Y'all finish off the show. Just give me about 2 more minutes. And callers, I can let both of you call us up the last day of the show. The Prime Minister said that we're going to have a backlog for 10 years. And here's the reason why he said that. He said because the criminal justice system in the Bahamas only can prosecute about 16 to 17 murders per year. Right? They just added about 20 to 25 new judges to deal with these matters. But it's going to be near impossible for people to have justice in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas because every time you have 100 murders, that push cases back. So every year we have 100 murders. How in the world our judicial system is going to be able to manage this? We are overloaded. There's not going to be no justice in this country. You could talk about hanging all you want. And listen to me, I can tell you this again. If you want to hang, you better start hanging when 10 a time or when 20 a time if you want to make a difference. Because there's not going to be no justice in the country. How could there be justice in the Prime Minister assuring you what is going on with our judicial system? Okay? It's overloaded. You know, it's 10 years you got to wait. For justice for your loved one to get killed over 10 years ago. And they're going to backlog for 10 years. And guess what? He ain't even telling you the full truth. Because within 10 years, at this current pace, a new government come in, that's the next 500 people. They're the next 500 when the next government come in. So there's no way in the world we're going to be able to serve justice. There's no way in the world we're going to be able to change the lives and the directory of our young youth, unless we direct directly in the schools, in the communities, and bring the family structure back, and in the prison. Because the statistics show us that 90% of prisoners in the prison, has been abused as a kid. We just had a statistics done by the Ministry of, what's the department is, man? I mean, you know, let's get a little hot. Can't even, let me cool down less a little bit. Because these things for me, I don't like people bullshitting. I don't like Dwayne Sands or Wayne Monroe talking, but they get crime in the door. The Prime Minister coming to me to get crime. When we have 100 murders or the commissioner coming on, but this, around this time, crime down this and around this time last year, July. No, it still ended up 100 murders. So whatever statistics you're talking about ain't making no sense. You understand? So I don't mean any of this foolishness. You politicians, I heard him say that, governments are not responsible for crime. What the hell are you talking about? Excuse me, callers. Just give me a second. Guardian Radio, please excuse me. Y'all told me to come. I have to be pissed because I've been on this from my sister Debbie Bartlett. I've been on the ground. I've seen murders. I've been involved with all kinds of stuff with some of the most serious set of criminals in the Bahamas. And I have a relationship talking to some of them, and hundreds of them are dead. A new generation I still talking to them, and it's the same problem. And they look like they're giving the same answers. And the statistics just show us that about 90%. I'm not tired of being in drain, son. You all playing with people's life. All of y'all. Then y'all come in the newspaper, talking about the government. What happened when y'all was in power? Huh? Murders, disease? Huh? Boy, listen. Let me take this one. Go ahead, caller. You're on Guardian Radio.
Is that me?
Go ahead.
Golly, this universal law you scored. Scored, you're speaking facts and truth. Now, let me show you something. Wayne Monroe, he's a suck spirit. He causing a lot of problem in this country today. And Brayman Darling flakes in saying that, okay? Because I know what's happening. And I know the things, in some of the things in which he are dealing with, and he is dealing with it immature. He's a suck spirit. Thank you.
Oh, Lord. See, you can't be playing with people's lives. You could do your job. But you know, time but representing your party when you get 100 murders per year. Listen to me, people. You only understand what's going on there. You know it's 100 murders per year? Huh? 100 murders per year? You don't think this is some type of joke? You think this time come on TV, you was in power and you ain't doing it? So you right now is the opposition. What the hell you could do? What you doing right now in your constituency? You're helping any young kids in your community? Huh? You make millions off the BM Impulse. What you doing with it? Feeding your face? But listen to me, y'all. Let me tell you all something, yeah? Boy, listen. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Good night, sir.
Bro, you're making a lot of sense. I have to call you tonight. I usually don't call these talk shows. Are you making... Let me tell you something. I watched a video the other day with Pastor Monco. I think that's his name. Bro, who has the Church in the Fusion Theater. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And he is 100%. People need to watch that video with him preaching.
Wow.
Concerning the situation. Let me tell you something. You know what our problem is in this country?
Go ahead, sir.
I know what the problem is. It's spiritual, you know.
Yes, sir.
It's spiritual. The head is out of order. If the head is out of order, the complete body is out of order.
Wow.
Our heads are out of order. When our government can cover up crime and do what you expect, what do you expect?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The complete country is out of order.
Yes, sir.
Because of our head is out of order. Mm-hmm. You know, our government had a proper opportunity to make this example that this guy Johnson, that voice noted.
Yes, sir.
Like
yes, sir. Well, let's
cover it up. This guy Cornish, because he get off not guilty because the court.
I don't mean saying guilty.
You think the young lady is going to walk in court and say, he did this? Seriously?
All
you think
this.
She's going to walk in there and say that? And now he's laughing, oh, I'm free? You're going to give an account one day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give an account one day. And every one of them is going to give an account to this country that they ruined.
They ruined it.
Yeah, they're ruining
it. They ruined the country.
Yeah. And you know, like you said, let me tell you, I live in Tall Pines. I haven't seen... whatever his name is. You drive on Fire Trail, one of the worst roads in this area. People got to be dodging the left side of the road to avoid all of those little
where the MP is.
Stuff like that.
Where the MP is?
Running around, flying around, enjoying life.
Mm-hmm. Eating steak and...
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Foolishness. Total utter foolishness in this country. And you're 100% correct, guy. You're right to get upset. If they want to control crime, they can't. They don't want to.
They don't want to.
You hear me? They know exactly. Let me tell you, Fernando knows. They know exactly what's going on. They know. They created this problem.
Yes, sir.
That's why we have this problem.
Yes, sir.
When you get, anyway, I don't even want to get into that. When you get those guys, when people going after them, you think about it. Like I told someone the other day, when have you ever seen a deputy prime minister house got robbed?
Brave Davis.
I didn't call no name.
When he was opposition. Yes. Yeah, yes, sir. You great.
You think about it. Never. That's the only time.
Yes.
And they take him and make him prime minister. Mm-hmm. I go on.
Okay, sir. Yeah, he's referring to when Brave Davis got robbed. Remember that? When the guy came in his house and then, yeah. Yeah, we messing around. I don't got time to between sons and all this stuff, man. You guys were in government, you know. And, you know, it's just protecting the party, you know. And then we have all the statistics to prove it. Nearly 90%. Well, and watch this now. They're saying 167 people, murderers on the road. Listen, it's 167. And then he is talking about just what Dwayne Sanders is responding to, right? And he is saying that, you know, more can be done. Listen to me. There's no court or no prison can deal with 100 murders per year. There's no court system in the Bahamas could deal with it. What I mean is this. Listen to this. That's why there's so much backlog. I'm going to explain that to you. People have to get bail. So those 167 people that are on bail, and reckon happen on the Bahamas and would become a target themselves. Let me explain something new. Just say, this happened in the last 7 years where these persons who are on bail for murder, right? Their cases done been going on for like 7, some 10 years, and they can't reach the court. The reason they can't reach the court is because this. The judiciary of the Bahamas only can prosecute about 20 murder cases per year. And then wouldn't mess it up, just say if they were to complete that 20 murder cases per year, if the people appeal, they set back 10 or 20 other cases that were supposed to be before the court because you have a chance to appeal 3 times. So if we keep on having 100 murders every year, right? And the court said they have 15 or 20 murder cases done this year. How 15 or 20 murder cases, right? Listen, let's think this up. Listen, I ain't been in school for this stuff. I only gone to high school. This is as far as I gone. But I'm very intelligent. I studied this. Think about this. They're doing 20 murders per year. The judiciary system, we're looking for justice, right? There ain't gonna be no justice if you're doing 20 a year. You might only do 70. And then with that, you have 100 murders. So this is what happened now. We say, get them no bail. Right? Which I agree. Get him no bail. Now, listen to this now. The prison already has 1,600 persons in it. So where is next 100 going? Where is next 60 who get in charge in the next 2 years? Right? Where they going? So that's what the prison got to do. They got to keep track of all the persons who the police department put before the court. And they get remanded to prison. So when they get remanded to prison, they get remanded for like 7 months. We say don't give him no bail. So why is there in 6 and 7? Why is the prisoner who charged for murder, who we say don't give no bail to, is in prison for 6, 7 months? He entitled to bail now because there were next 60 persons coming in who recently get charged for murder coming in. So he on record. The prison cannot hold that 60. So what they have to do? They have to let this guy go on bail. They have to let him go on bail in order for them to have space in the prison. Okay? So as long as we keep on having 100 murders per year, hey, listen to me. We finish. Huh? We finish. There's no justice. Justice can't be that slow because the criminal elements doing 100 murders per year. The court system that's supposed to represent the people and the police were charged with 30 or 40 people a year. But the judiciary system only could prosecute 20 per year. So look at the average. Show me where that adds up. It don't add up. We losing. We can lose so much more. And then the prime minister stayed 10 years. That the backlog and case in the Bahamas. We'd have 10 years of backlog from now. And I can tell you this. He ain't telling the full truth. We get 20 or 30 years of backlog in case to go. And Odell, you have 167 people on murder, 160 or 170 persons, or whatever the situation the commission talked about on bail. Let me ask you all a question. I know myself. I know the community and I know the country. You know how much murderers on this road? Nah, I saw a load of murderers. Being time getting murderers. Grandstand where you live get murderous. Camp Road get murderous. Angleston get murderous. Huh? And the only reason we stand a chance now because sometimes they cancel themselves out. Because of all those guys who were living, who were serial murderers. See, listen to me. We have serial killers over here, you know. Huh? Anytime you see poison kill more than one poison or two, one poison, they are serial killers. Because some of these guys, I know, boy, they ain't got no time to play with you. They blow your brains out, and they eventually they get killed too. But I say, whilst they are living, they are doing the most damage. And if you talk to them, these guys ain't got nothing going on for them. If you look at my phone, sometimes they text me, one will let 50, daddy, one will let 100. I do it, but I do it occasionally. You understand? So you're killing, right? You're killing. But yet still, you in prison and can't even get a little $50 or $100. So it doesn't make no sense. So we are a danger to ourselves. And these foolish politicians back and forth looking for political gain to try to get back in power so they could bury the next 500. So right now, no government is doing a good job when it comes to crime. Everyone failed. Everyone. And even when new government coming, they're going to fail too unless they start to invest millions and millions in each community. Each MP got to be responsible for their community. The caller talked about the big pothole. Where's the MP? Huh? Government. But government is not responsible for crime. Yeah. No, government is not responsible for crime. What the hell government responsible for? Their job, their first majority, their first responsibility. They're not responsible. If you deprive the people of opportunity as a government and you expect the people to sit around and don't do nothing like Garvin say, you're leaving us with no food, no water, no light, no internet, and you expect for us to govern ourselves? So we govern ourselves, know what we're doing? We killing up one another. And if you don't watch out, we coming for you too. You can't see that? That's what he just say. Brave Davis got robbed. So guys start to target you. Huh? Brandon McCartney, late great, Brandon McCartney, brother, got killed. Huh? So people start to focus on you. I didn't have time to play my next clip. This is all I can tell you, people. Listen to me. Boy, I know what we can do. We in big trouble. 10 years of backlogging, and the Prime Minister stated it. It ain't gonna be easy. Not with 100 murders per year. So the police ain't even doing a good job. You understand? Only 16 to 17 murder cases we can try a year. And we get 100 murders per year. 400 murders already committed under this government. Huh? And like I say, the government can win again in the next election. But that still isn't going to solve the problem. We're going to have 500 murders every year. And this is what we're going to settle for? Okay. That's the music getting the key from my producer. I want to say to all the callers, Garvin, you know, that's my boy. Come far. Sparky. To all the callers, you guys, did a wonderful job here tonight. And I hope we continue to have this conversation. But that's one of the beaming public, you know. 17 murders try a year by our Supreme Court. When we have 100 murders per year, the Prime Minister said we're going to have 10 years of backlogging. He lied on that. We're going to have a 30 years of backlogging based on if we keep on having 100 murders per year. Until we can get the murder count down to about 20 or the 50 a year, then we stand a chance of decreasing the backlog. But if we keep continuing to have 100 murders per year, there's going to be retaliation killing, brothers killing brothers. Boy, and child abuse will continue. I'm going to end on this. 90% of prison inmates are abused as kids. We have 1,600 inmates in prison. And those inmates, when they come back on the road, they are monsters. They are not physically trained. When they come back on the road, they come to take out some more of us. You understand? So all I can say is we just got to invest. Invest in our kids. Invest in healthcare. Invest in education. Invest in small business and community development. And that's probably the only way we're going to change the mindset and tell the truth about Christianity. You know, the only thing that's going to change the Bahamas if each and every one of us contribute to the development of this country. My name is Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I want to say thanks to each and every one of you calling and continue to call in and give your voice, because this is what the show for. We want to expose what's going on in the country. Like I said, I only went as far as high school, but I'm very, very intelligent. Very intelligent. I can read between the lines, and it's a pleasure to be your host on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. See you next week. Enjoy the weekend. And listen, last thing, you have 100 more to put you up. Each and every one of you who leave with your host now, don't think it can't be you. Stay away from altercation if you want to preserve your life. You don't never know who the next victim is going to be. I think we're headed for 115 or 110 murders this year. So don't let you be the next victim. If you get in an argument with somebody, walk away. Okay? If you have a problem with your girlfriend, walk with the host. If you have a problem with your brother-in-law, you see those two guys kill one another, one chop one, and I think the next one strangle one. He strangle, here's the one who chopped him. He strangle him. And that's the way how we're going to live. Walk away. Preserve your life and save your life, okay? I'm out of here. See you next week.
But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, Watch them only pass through for a season. Cutlass, I go weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're left in the fine smoke.
Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Bahamas, son, that boy, what happened?